Soils, wildlife, pruning, mowing, watering, feeding, planting, even the birds and the bees. Join us in the garden every Friday at 12.05 here on CRCFM.
Yes, the birds and the bees, and Kieran joins on the programme. Kieran, you're very welcome. Today you brought in a lot of coffee cuttings. If we only had a camera here, or a webcam, we'll have to bring in that webcam so people can see exactly what we're talking about.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now.
So I've brought some flowers for you first.
You have, and that's a nice one.
Now that's a thing called candy tuft, or the botanical name
candy
for that. Candy tuft.
Yeah.
Or the botanical name for that one is, you ready for this? You ready now? This is quite an easy one. Iberus sempervirens.
Oh my God.
How about that?
OMG.
Or Iberus, as some people say.
I just call it candy tuft.
Candy tuft.
Candy tuft. Okay, candy tuft. Johnny, get it right. So and, what is it and where can we find it?
Well, it's a low-growing plant, which is often sold like a rockery plant, and it grow about a foot and a half wide and only about 6 inches high. And it's a great plant for the gardens at this time of year to give you a great splash of colour. Those white flowers are smothering the foliage, and it's evergreen. And that's what part of the name means, is sempervirens, that it's evergreen. Semper meaning ever, virens, Latin for green. And it'll flower for months on end, and it's a very easy plant to grow, even in a slightly shaded spot. It'll be very, very happy. And we have a few plants of that in the front garden.
It doesn't grow wild, does it?
No, it doesn't grow in the wild. There is another plant also called candy tuft, which is a pink flower, which is an annual one. But this one is perennial, so it's there from year to year.
Okay, that's that one. That's candy tuft.
Candy tuft.
Now, this one's nice looking.
Yeah, that's a nice big flower.
That's nice. To me, that looks like a big daisy.
Yeah, and what they call it is Cape daisy.
Oh.
Okay, or its botanical name is even better. This sounds like you've got some sort of throat disease or something.
Okay.
Osteospermum eclonus. All right, Osteospermum eclonus is the botanical name.
I thought Peter
name.
Kidding was the only one that could pronounce strange names, but here we go.
So this one is, as I say, called the Cape daisy. It comes originally from South Africa. And if you go to South Africa, certain parts of it, you'd see these plants growing there in the wild, absolutely carpets of them for maybe miles and miles. As far as the eye can see, up to the horizon, you would see these osteospermums growing. But these ones will grow in Ireland, and they're perfectly happy. But that's the one again from the garden. And
okay,
it's a daisy, isn't it?
Yeah, a daisy, a Cape daisy. And there's a kind of a purple colouring.
Slightly kind of purpling in the centre, which gives a nice contrast to the white petals.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
And there's a little bit of purple on those white petals as well.
There is indeed,
It's
just
nice.
Says it's getting a little bit older, the flower. Now, if you have that in the garden and it's a shady day,
as
we sometimes have, or if it's in a shady spot, the flowers close up completely.
Oh, do they? Yeah.
Well, they fold up, the petals upwards. But now it's in nice and open because I picked it in the sunshine and it's been warm in the car on the way over and the flowers are well open. And they're probably, a good 3 inches wide. So you can see how they close up and the backs of the petals have almost like a pinkish or a colour.
Very nice. Yeah, they are lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely colour, in fact, when it's closed up as well.
It is.
It's multicolour. So in other words, these two you're showing me here are the candy tuft and the Cape daisy. Can I ask you, will these last from year to year then?
They will. They're great plants in that you will have them basically for years and years once you've planted them in the garden. So they're very good value. At this time of year, a lot of people will be buying plants for pots and even for the garden, which are only annual plants. So they'll be basically gone at the end of the summer. And they're fine for a nice burst of colour. But I think a better investment is a plant which will keep on going and getting bigger from year to year. And these plants, which we call perennials, will do that. And they'll live for many years. So the first one, the candy tuft, we have that in the garden maybe 7 years at this stage. And the osteospermum is there about 3 or 4 years. And each year they get bigger and produce more flowers, so they're even better value. Really good investments, much better than perhaps banks and shares, better growth.
That's true. And will these, what about them if we get a cold winter? I mean, what happens?
Yeah. Well, both those plants have been in my garden a number of years, and they have had no protection in the winter. So the very cold winter, not the one just gone, but the one before, where we had minus 18 in the garden, they survived. And I was really surprised about the second one, the osteospermum, because it is from South Africa, and you would think it's used to warm climates. But a lot of osteospermums would die in that amount of cold. Even less cold than that, they will die. But that particular one, there's one or two which are very hardy, and that one has come through minus 18 and grew again, and will flowering from now right through the summer.
Okay, so the Cape Daisy is a toughie, we'll say.
It is, very tough. And the Iberis is equally, even tougher.
Okay, if there's people listening today that would like to get their hands on a Candy Tuft or the Cape Daisy, I mean, can you grow these from cuttings, and where could they get cuttings? And
Well, you can get your plants from the garden centres, no problem. Mm. Lots of the garden centres will have those. Just if you're going to buy a Cape Daisy, try get this one, Osteosperma clonus, which is a hardy one, so because many of the others won't survive. And once you have them in the garden, if you want more of them, then you can propagate them from cuttings. And have you ever done cuttings, Johnny?
No.
Okay. Well, cuttings are very easy, and I've brought in just a couple of shoots from the plant in the garden. And you see, I have a shoot there which is perhaps, 3 inches long or so?
Yeah, about 3 inches,
with a few leaves. And what I do is I get a very sharp knife, like this, it's like a
blade.
Version of a blade, a Stanley knife, and it very carefully, see where the leaf is attached to the base of the, the base of the leaf to the stem? And I just take it, nice clean cut across the base there.
You're cutting at an angle, let's say.
Yeah, cut it at an angle, and that just, if you like, exposes more of the fresh tissues of the plant. And what I'll do then is I'll cutting upwards at the base of each leaf, and I remove a number of leaves from the base of the stem. Right. So I've taken off, I think,
three or four
leaves there, and I still have a few leaves left on the top. Okay.
Why that?
Now, the reason why I'm doing that is that the leaves lose water, and of course we've no roots on this plant yet.
Yeah, okay.
So we want to cut down the water loss. But also, I'm going to insert this into a pot with a peat and a drainage material called perlite. And they'll be going in the ground. And if I leave the leaves attached to the stem, they'll start to rot. So that's one of the main reasons why I'm removing the leaves. And I have a pot here, as you can see, it's got peat, and it has, you see these white pieces?
I was going to ask you, what are all those white pieces? They're like little foam, if you ask me.
They're harder than a foam. They feel to me, you know, pumice stone.
Oh, there's a crack of them, yeah?
Yeah, they crush them.
Yeah.
This is a material called perlite, and you buy it in garden centres. And we use it in the pots instead of using sand or grit to give drainage. And how they make the perlite is they get little tiny pieces of volcanic rock, just like little, you know the way when you pick up a rock and you see little shiny pieces in the rock. They extract those minerals and they heat them up to thousands of degrees Celsius and it liquefies the rock material. And then they dry them really quick and they expand. So that's why they're very light. So it's a bit like kind of rock mineral popcorn is what they're making from it. But it's great stuff for adding drainage to the compost, which we'll need for our cuttings. So I'll fill up a pot. I have a pot here, which is about a 5-inch diameter pot, 4-inch diameter
pot.
With
compost?
With the peat and the perlite. And I make a mixture up at home where I get, say, 2 potfuls of the peat and 1 potful of the perlite, and I mix it up together with my hands. And then I fill it into the pot and I just lightly firm it down. And I'll take a cutting like I've prepared there, the osteosperma, and I have here a rooting hormone powder. Okay,
it's called Strike.
It's called Strike. That's one brand of it. Or there's an organic version of it, which is in a gel form. It's called rooting gel.
Okay.
And these help, if you like, speed up the process of this cutting making some new roots.
Okay.
And the roots can be stronger. So I'm going to use the organic one here because it's just a bit easier to work.
So what you're doing is you're dipping cutting.
You dip it in.
Is that liquid or
it's a gel.
Okay, it's a gel. I see it. Rooting gel, excuse me.
It smells a bit like old seaweed. So the base of the cutting is moist and I just dip it into the gel like that. Shake off any extra.
Right.
And then using a little pencil or you can get a thing called a dibber, I make a hole
in the compost.
It about as deep as I'm going to put the cutting. So at this stage it's about 3/4 of an inch deep and I insert the cutting into the hole. And it's good to make a good wide hole so you don't brush off any of the gel. And then with my 2 fingers, I firm it in around the base.
Mm.
Nice and tall. Okay, and into a pot that size, keeping them about 1.5 inches apart, I'll get maybe 7 or 8 cuttings into the pot.
How long then before those cuttings that you just planted will show roots or form roots?
Well, different plants take different lengths of time to make the cuttings. Now, you could get with some plants about in 3 weeks of cutting. Now, just like a good cookery program, here's one I did earlier.
Oh, nice, Jimmy. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So that one is on the...
And was that with the same process like you showed me now?
The same process. This one has made its roots and I've potted it into a pot of multipurpose or seed and potting compost.
Yeah.
And you can see already the roots are coming out. Now, when I took the cutting, when I did that process, what I just did there, I have my label, you see, with the name written on it.
And the date.
And the date is the 10th of April.
Yeah.
So this rooted in about 3 weeks. I potted it up. Here we are now, the 18th of May, but 5 weeks later, and I have that plant. And that could be really planted out at this stage.
Yeah, and fantastic.
And one which I did even a little bit earlier again in March. You can see it's about three times the size.
Now you're talking, yeah.
Big flowers on it, 20th of March. And that's
I like the way you label them and date them, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you have to, because particularly gardeners, I think they're going to have a great memory, and they don't label them, and they'll say, oh, I'll remember what those seeds are.
Okay, but here's one for you. Labelling, how important it is, and you have the date there, plus the flower type and so on. I mean, that label you have there, I mean, what do you use to write the label? Because if it's raining and it's outside, I mean, the chances that it could disappear.
Well, the thing I use to write on the labels, these plastic labels, is just an ordinary pencil, HB pencil, and I write the name on. Yeah. And that can last up to 2 years outside.
Wow. And the rain, frost,
the rain
snow?
doesn't bother. It will fade with light and time. Mm. And if I want to reuse a label, I'll just take a rubber, clear off the old name and reuse it. So we're recycling and saving money as well.
I just thought I'd ask that. How important is it? Can you do this without adding the organic rooting gel and or strike?
Many things you can.
Yeah.
And for some things it might actually be totally unnecessary. But we kind of get into the habit of using it just in case. And certainly for some plants, it gives you more roots and builds up the amount of roots which you could have. And then when you take that cutting, where I'll do that, I'll give it some water when we go home and I'll put it in my polythene tunnel, but not in too much sunshine. I'll give it a bit of shading. But if you don't have a tunnel or a glass house to put it in, you can do them on the windowsill at home. So anybody can do this. And if I'm going to glue it on the windowsill at home, say I have a plastic bag here, which you get in the supermarket. Yeah. So we've paid 22 cents for these days.
Yeah.
So I'll pop it up.
Is it 22 cents now, yeah?
I think it is, yeah. I'll pop it over the bag like that. And see, I've filled it with air. So it's like making a little greenhouse.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. An independent greenhouse for each plant.
Yeah. So I have maybe 8 cuttings in that. And then I'll just hold the plastic bag in place
and
with a rubber band.
Okay. That's it.
And that'll fill up with humidity and it'll get like condensation on the inside of the bag. And every week or every kind of 4 or 5 days, I'll take the bag off, check that the plant is okay. If some of the leaves are going a bit yellow, I might nip those off. I'll also check that it's not drying out. I might need to give it a drop of water. And then I'll leave the bag off for an hour or so, let a bit of fresh air in, put it back in. And about 3 weeks, you have your new plants.
That's a great idea. It's an independent kind of a view. If you don't have those tunnels...
Yeah.
Isn't that the answer there?
That's it. You can do it on the windowsill. I would place it on the windowsill, which is not too sunny. I know you're going to say, well, windowsill in Ireland is too sunny.
But if
you're getting bright sunlight shining through the window at midday, it's not the place for it. So put it on a window which is not going to get the most sun during the middle of the day. Keep it towards evening or early morning sunlight. So east or west facing window would be ideal for that.
Okay, what about, you know, for people doing cuttings all year round? Is that possible, or is there a certain time of year?
Well, different plants will be suitable at different times of the year. Many of these small plants, like rockery plants, herbaceous plants, and many shrubs which lose their leaves in winter are very good at this time of year. You just take these small cuttings, what we call soft cuttings at this time of year. Many of the evergreen shrubs, like camellias and rhododendrons and things like that, you can do those later in the summer, into July. And then in the winter, you can do deciduous trees and deciduous shrubs by what we call hardwood cuttings. And I don't know if you remember, Rita got a cutting from me early in the year of a dogwood. Remember the red stem?
Yeah.
And she put that in the garden. And so some cuttings are that easy. You can just take a stem, put them in the garden, and you have your new plant.
Okay, I want to talk to you about the garden course that's coming up at Castlebar Community Garden. You've been talking about this before.
That's right. So we've got the go-ahead for a course. It's a 9-week course covering a whole range of topics. So we're going to start with sowing seeds, planting trees, cuttings and propagation like we've done here, looking after the plants, and then a couple of more unusual things like wild food, so collecting some wild food and making some unusual things with it, maybe like elderberries or rather elder flowers at that time of year. So it'll be running from 9 weeks, starting on the 6th of June. It's Wednesday evenings from 6:30 to 8:30. So it's also very reasonably priced, very cheap. €20 for the 9 weeks.
God above, that's for nothing.
It's for nothing, exactly. Yeah. So, but this is the whole idea, of course, of the community gardening, is to make it accessible for everyone, and that basically lots of people can come along and learn about gardening and help them kind of grow their own plants.
Many people?
We'll have a maximum of 15,
okay.
So you'll want to get on quick and book your place.
So Wednesday evenings we're talking about, for 9 weeks,
yeah.
Beginning on Wednesday the 6th of June.
That's right.
Castlebar Community Garden on Shorthorn here in Castlebar, on Shorthorn, I can't remember how to pronounce it properly. €20 you're telling me for the 9 weeks.
For 9 weeks, amazingly good.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, so we've got some funding for that from the South Mayo. And so to inquire about a place, you'll get in touch with the Family Resource Centre here in Castlebar, Le Caila Centre. And I think you have the phone number there,
Jane. I do, I have. It's 90-25126. 25126. I'm going to leave this information here for other people to mention as well, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who may not be listening to this programme at this particular moment that would like to be part of this 9 weeks course. It's here in town in Castlebar. And for God's sake, €20 for the 9 week. Where would you be going without a bell on your bike?
Indeed.
It's absolutely fantastic. And as Kieran just said there, I mean, you can find out more and book your place by going through Le Caila, the family centre there, Tucker Street in Castlebar. They do wonderful work down there. It's a wonderful building and outlet. 25126 is their number, 25126. I take it, Kieran, on your own website, Kieran Burke with a C, Kieran Burke. .ie, is it?
That's right.
Will this information be on that side as well?
It will be going up, because we've just got to go ahead last night, really, to go ahead with this. So it's kind of
fresh. It's a great idea.
And it'll be on also the other website, thegardenschool.ie, and on the Facebook page and everywhere.
Jimmy, what do you think of that for an idea? 9 weeks for €20.
For nothing.
There you are. Well, fair play to you.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. That's true. You wouldn't go far with €20 now if you're going out, I can assure you. But here you're going to get 9 weeks. And by, at the end of that 9 weeks, okay, for a beginner like myself, would say, what will I have learned?
Well, you'll know how to sow a range of seeds, you know how to plant a tree, how to lay out a vegetable plot, how to do cuttings like we've been doing there, and different plants at different times of the years, about selecting plants, fruit trees, about different kind of ornamental edible plants, how to attract wildlife to the garden, and how to do a bit of wild food foraging.
Plus something you're not saying here, and I'm going to have a go with this one, and that is that you can be proud and hold your head up, because you will be part of what happened and what is the Castlebar Community Garden.
That's right.
Yeah. Kieran Burke, as always, thank you so much indeed.